Catching Up with Ben DiBono.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And this is not a rerun. And I am Ben DiBono.
And...
We are back. Holy crap, I forgot my line. It's been a long time. I am back.
Hello, and welcome
temporarily.
Back, Ben DiBono.
Hello, Mr. Anderson.
Today, my guest host is Ben DiBono.
Wait a second. I get relegated to guest host just because I've been off the air for about 7 months.
Yeah. Do you remember the last time you were here?
I'm going to guess.
I actually know the date.
Ooh.
But just to confirm, I'm going to walk to my computer and check. You talk.
Okay. I'm going to guess that it is January-ish.
Guess again.
That's a wrong guess?
That is completely wrong.
Hot or cold? I suppose I've only guessed once, so that's... I'm going to guess December 12th.
Ooh, you're really close. Hold on. I'm away from my headphones and microphone.
This is sucky radio.
I believe... that we recorded... Okay, here I am back. Hold on.
You're welcome back.
I believe that we recorded the end of the year episode, and we did a few other things too, like news and whatnot.
Yeah.
On December 11th.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah. Sunday, December 11th, 2011, was the last time that Ben DiBono has graced us with his presence.
So that is almost 7 months to the day.
So thanks for making time in your busy schedule to come on the show.
You know, got to do a little charity work every now and then.
So,
but it's not... My understanding, Matt, is that I've been on the show quite a bit.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, since you've been listening still...
Yeah.
You've been keeping up with us. I've been actually, playing a lot of our old episodes, playing a lot of recordings that had previously been unheard. And so you have been on just about as much as you were last year at this time.
Can I say something about those recordings that have been previously unheard?
Well, okay, well, here. Just remember, three were pre-Life Report.
Yeah, that's fine.
Eight were about history.
There's the ones we would need to talk about. I'm sorry.
To who are you saying this to?
The Sci-Fi Christian audience.
Why? The
history, those were the worst podcasts in the history of podcasting.
The history of Christianity, it's been... Pretty popular online.
If by popular you mean people want to slit our throats for putting out that crap. I mean, those were bad. It got you an A- in your class.
I know. That's actually the thing that I hate the most about it is that of all my classes, I got all A's except for just that one, and I think it is because of our podcast.
Well, let's be honest. It was because of me, probably. I had no interest after the first couple episodes and continuing to do them. I sat in for my good friend Matt. But as those of you who were able to listen, who had the fortitude to soldier on through all 8 episodes know, my level of involvement and interest went down like a proverbial lead balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I, in preparation for releasing all 8 episodes, I actually released the video that you and I recorded, or actually, we'd record it every week because as part of my final project, I had to play a video for the class. And we released this video on the Sci-Fi Christian YouTube page recently. And it got a lot of comments, and you read about these, didn't you, Ben?
Most of the comments were to the effect of, where the bleep is the Game of Thrones Season 2 reviews?
Yeah, because as you listeners know, we did Game of Thrones video reviews for Season 1, but skipped Season 2, because I'm not watching anymore. And here's just a sampling. Please, Game of Thrones. Now, these are comments on the History of Christianity video.
Yeah.
What happened to your Game of Thrones reviews? Why did you guys stop the reviews of Game of Thrones? I love them. It was together with Westeros. Restoros, my favorite, and that was the European version of favorite, so globally we were missed.
Yeah.
Somebody just wrote the word no, period.
That's awesome. Whoever you are that did that, you're my favorite commenter of all time. That's awesome.
This one is a little explicit. Let me read it. Oh, there's... Ooh. I'm not going to read that.
What if you just inserted other words?
No, I'm not going to. I'll read it. Okay. This guy can't be. I'm guessing he's not a Sci-Fi Christian listener. F Christianity. You can fill in the blank. What the heck?
Okay.
I was pretty explicit. There is only one God, and his name is Death. You give him
You know that's a quote from Game of Thrones.
No, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no, I didn't know that.
You know, Cyrio Pharrell, the guy who's the swordmaster who trains Arya, he tells her there's only one God.
You give him the finger and tell him not today. It's well, pretty simple.
It doesn't say give him the finger, but there's only one thing we say to death. Not today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they're saying you give him the finger. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
That's so thank you for that.
Despite his blasphemous start, there was a bit of wit in that comment, I suppose.
Yeah. And then finally, the last person said, yeah, I only subscribed because I was expecting Game of Thrones reviews.
That's pretty awesome.
So, sorry about that, folks. They will not be forthcoming. But Ben, as part of today's episode, we wanted to catch up with you, fill the Sci-Fi Christian audience on what you've been doing for the last 7 months. We could talk a little bit about school, work, personal life, anything you want, and then I also want to get your opinion on things that are happening in sci-fi. So let's just start with Game of Thrones. You watched season 2.
I did.
I did not. I will probably not watch the show, but I'll likely maybe read the books eventually.
Someday.
So don't spoil me, but what were your thoughts on season 2 of Game of Thrones?
I really enjoyed it. I'm glad that starting with season 3, they're not going to be doing one book a season, because I think things got a little bit rushed, particularly at the beginning of the season, where there just is so much going on. Every book in the series gets more and more dense, so it's very difficult to try and do one book per season. And it suffered for that in places. But that said, it was still pretty awesome. There's an event in season 2. I won't describe anything about it except it's called the Battle of Blackwater. Huge, huge fight in the book. In season 1, they skipped over a couple battles for budgetary reasons. Well, HBO gave them the green light and some extra money to do a single episode just on this one battle.
Oh, wow.
Single best episode of TV I've ever seen.
Really?
It was awesome. Unbelievable.
Wow. That's a rave review.
Yeah, so that was great. I thought the season ended great. You know, so I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm glad they're slowing things down a bit in season 3. I think that'll be better for the show and give George R. R. Martin a bit more time to churn out his books.
I've heard that he's worried that he's not going to be able to catch up.
Yeah.
I mean, that they are going to catch up to him, rather.
Yeah, he is. So hopefully that will light a fire under his buttocks.
Nice, nice. Knowing the characters that I liked during first season, would I be happy with what's going to happen in
season 2? Who did you like in season 2? That was like a year ago.
I liked Tyrion.
Yep.
So am I going to be happy with book 2?
Yes. Tyrion has... You know how Ned was kind of the main character? Yeah. Tyrion, there isn't really a main character in season 2, but to the extent that there is one guy who gets the most focus, it's Tyrion.
Okay, what about Dany?
Yeah, she has a little bit less to do in the second season. So the first half of the season, you'd probably be fairly disappointed, but she gets some pretty good material in the second half, particularly at the end.
I liked Jon Snow.
Yep, he's got some great stuff.
Okay, good.
Should be even better in season 3.
Will it be even better in book form?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, the books are incredible.
All right, well, that's Game of Thrones. Tell us, Ben, what's been going on in your life? Why haven't you been here? What's been keeping you busy?
Well, I have been busy working, of course. My normal job, I work at church. So that's kept me quite busy.
Mm. And you got promoted since last year on the show.
Yeah, didn't we announce that? I thought that was...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Well,
Executive Pastor Ben DeBono.
There you go. graduated along with you, Matt, in May, so that was exciting. Going for my next master's degree starting in the fall.
Interesting. But not the MDiv like you originally planned.
No, THM, Master of Theology. So pre-doctoral degree, that's quite exciting.
Besides the title, what's the difference? Because both of us now are in possession of our very own Masters of Arts in Theological Studies.
Yeah.
And now we both are considering, and you're definitely doing it, and I don't know what I'm going to do next, this Masters of Theology. Both are similar names.
They
One
are.
Has arts in it. What are the differences, really?
Well, the main difference is that the THM is designed to prepare you for doctoral work.
Okay.
You do a 80-page thesis at the end of it, whereas, you know, the MATS program didn't really have a thesis at the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's some seminars on research and helping you get ready for doctoral work, and then just various electives. It allows you to kind of... you can kind of really pick your own classes, at least in the program I'm at, that allows you to fill in any gaps in terms of stuff that you might have wanted to spend a bit more time on in your mats but didn't get a chance to. So you're able to really flesh a couple of topics out and then get better prepared to do doctoral work.
Well, that sounds good. So how would it compare? Because a lot of people before going for their doctorate get an MDiv, Masters of Divinity, and that's what both you and I were originally going for, and now you definitely are not, and I may not. Tell me more about this.
MDiv is more focused on pastoral work, whereas a THM is more of an academic degree. So that's the other reason I'm doing it instead of the MDiv, is my hope is to do more academics than pastoral work in the future. So I am looking for more of that type of degree. I started to take a couple of MDiv classes before I graduated. Wasn't too thrilled with them. Was kind of realizing that I wanted to go more in the academic direction. But yeah, if you want to be a pastor, then and that's going to be your main source of ministry, then the MDiv is the way to go.
So MDiv is if you want to be a pastor. THM is if you want to be a professor.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Well, Ben, before we get too far into this episode, I wanted to say welcome to Batman Month.
Well, thank you.
Today is July 6th?
Yep.
And Batman Month is right now because The Dark Knight Rises comes out July 20th. So in honor of Batman Month, you and I are about to record after this episode an episode all about our predictions for Dark Knight Rises. Then, later in the month, I'll be re-releasing our episode Dark Knight Trial, which was probably one of your favorite episodes.
Yeah, it was good.
What did you like so much about it?
Well, it's about the Dark Knight on trial. Yeah. So you gotta like that.
We talked about was Batman, or is he, morally justified in what he does.
We put Batman on trial.
Yeah. Also, long ago, you and I had asked a question, why are these things in the Batcave? What's in the Batcave? And I had said I would research it and get back to the audience. Well, I'm a man of my word. 1 year later, I'll be releasing an episode. Well, more than 1 year.
Have you done any of the research yet?
No. I will, though. By the time the episode comes out, you're going to know everything. So you'll find out what's in the Batcave. Yeah, I mean, those are some things we're definitely going to do. There might be some other things. Some of our writers have said they're going to have some Batman-themed posts on thescifichristian.com. So a lot to look forward to with Batman Month.
All right.
Let's see. Tell me about... I'm going to go back to sci-fi stuff. You saw the Avengers. I saw the Avengers. We didn't see them together.
We did not.
What were your thoughts?
It was much better than Thor, Captain America, or either the Iron Man movies or Incredible Hulk. All the other movies that had led up to it. It was considerably better than those. You'll remember, Matt, from our reviews last year that I found Thor to be pretty bad. I found Captain America to be outright horrible. Mm-hmm. I thought Iron Man 2 was bad. I thought Incredible Hulk was bad. I liked the first Iron Man okay.
Okay.
So I wasn't too thrilled with a lot of the Marvel movies. I thought this was really enjoyable. I'd see it again, but was it a great movie? No. No.
Joss Whedon?
I felt like it was Joss Whedon being allowed to bring a bit of his style to a Marvel movie, mm-hmm, rather than a Joss Whedon movie with Marvel characters, which would have been something truly great.
Oh.
He was allowed to interject his humor and some of that stuff, but was this a Joss Whedon movie? No. Joss Whedon, he explores deep themes. He's able to explore characters in depth and different dynamics with that, and there was none of that. It was basically just a big, loud action movie.
Yeah, I loved it, but I did get the same feeling as you. I gave it a 5. Would you give it a 5 or would you give it a 4?
I'd give it 4 at the most. Okay. 3.5, 4.
So I gave it a 5. I've seen it twice in the theater. I really liked it, but there is something a little bit missing. It's not...
So doesn't that bring it below a 5?
No, because compared to some other movies that I've given 4s to, this has to be a 5.
4.5?
Maybe a 4.5, but...
Okay. I'm going to say 4.5 for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I'm back for 10 minutes, and I'm already adjusting your rating system.
But I loved it. I really loved it. It's easily, by far, leaps and bounds above any other Marvel movie that's come out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's no Dark Knight.
Exactly, and that's maybe what I mean. So yeah, I'd say a 4. I really enjoyed it. I'd definitely see it again. But yeah, I love the concept of what Marvel has done with all these different movies, and I think it's an awesome project, but the execution has been so small. It's like... There was no there, you know. Thor was such a minor movie with the scope of it was so small. And even the Avengers, it's obviously a huge battle and everything. It's ultimately not about anything. There's no depth there, which is disappointing.
So at the end of the movie, so this is a little bit spoiler. At the end of the movie, the heroes kind of split off into different, you know, subgroups and go on their separate ways. So Tony Stark and Bruce Banner go off on their own. Loki and Thor go back to Asgard. Captain America, I think he takes off alone. The S.H.I.E.L.D. people, Hawkeye and Black Widow, they kind of stick together.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. people.
So it kind of feels like, I'm missing somebody, I'm sure, but it feels like they're almost setting up these next movies. So I'm wondering, do you think Bruce Banner is going to be a player in Iron Man 3 next year?
I don't know. But yeah, they are setting up the next movies, and they've already talked about Phase 2, I guess is what they're calling it. The Uncanny Avengers is going to be the next one.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
The next title is called Uncanny Avengers?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That actually brings me to some news I want to talk about later.
Oh, okay.
But are you positive about that? Because they usually save the term uncanny for X-Men.
That's why there's some speculation that the X-Men might show up.
No, they can't do that because Fox owns the rights to X-Men, I think.
I don't know. Marvel's been working on getting closer to being able to do some sort of crossover with them. Like for example, the Avengers, they'd gotten an agreement to have Oscorp Towers in New York, and they weren't able to do it for time reasons, but Sony or whoever owned Spider-Man had given them the green light to bring some of the Spider-Man elements into the movie.
Speaking of Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man came out just a few days ago. It's doing well. We're still in the midst of this weekend because it's a longer weekend with July 4th, but
yeah.
I think it's likely going to be the number one movie.
Oh, yeah.
You said you're not going to see it until it's on DVD?
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of mediocre superhero movies. I don't have a desire to sit through another Thor-level movie or Captain America or, God forbid, a Green Lantern.
I celebrated my Independence Day with Spider-Man.
So,
an American tradition.
Comparing it to those others.
The other three.
Spider-Man. Yeah. I'd assume you like Avengers more than Spider-Man.
By far.
What about in terms of like Marvel's other movies that have been coming out?
Oh, yeah. So I would say this is now in my top three with...
Seriously?
Yeah, with... I'm going to see it again this weekend with Daniel Butcher. So then maybe I'll be able to rate it better. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Iron Man 1, Avengers. These are two of my favorites. I know you like Spider-Man 2. I like it, but I think this one's better.
Really?
Oh, I actually love First Class, though.
X-Men First Class was fabulous.
And I also liked X-Men. It's in my top five, I would say, maybe. So I'll see it again, and I'll give it a better rating. But
Would you say it's better than like Thor and Captain America and all those?
Yeah, I would say so. It's more... You can definitely tell they're trying to ground it more reality, just like they did with Dark Knight. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I'll see it eventually. I think, you know, going to movies is an unpleasant experience.
Yeah, you've talked about this before.
When you think about it.
You hate it now?
Yeah.
I still love it. I kind of go out of my way to try to go see movies. I love the experience.
Like, for example, we took our kids to go see Brave earlier this week.
Oh.
$26 for the tickets. You could have bought the stupid DVD for that much.
See, man, this is why it's way better to be single and childless.
I hear you.
I saw Brave for a mere $5.
Okay, so let's talk about Brave here.
Okay.
What did you think?
One of my least favorite Pixar movies I've ever seen.
It was bad. It was bad.
I just compared, but on the show, I talked about it already, so a little bit, but I think I gave it a 3, but as I've thought about more, like there's other ones I've maybe given 3s to that was actually, I'll see it again. Brave, though, I don't really see myself ever wanting to see it again.
No.
But you and I are guys, and I talked about this on the show previously, but I think that this movie might, it will likely speak more to mothers and daughters than it will to sons and fathers.
My wife hated it, too.
Oh, interesting. I think I liked
it. Scared the crap out of my kids.
Oh, really? Did it?
Yeah.
I feel like I liked it more when I left, but then the more I've thought about it, and I've actually read some articles on it and compared it to other Pixar movies, as I do my ranking in my head like I often do, I try to figure out what's on top. I don't think I would put Brave above most others.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Daniel Butcher, who was a huge Disney fan, I think.
Did he like it?
I can't remember his exact score, but I think he maybe gave it a 3-ish also.
Yeah, it was not good. The other weird part of it is, okay, I'm not a prude, obviously, but what's with the male nudity?
They had some naked butts a lot, didn't
they? Yeah!
Like, who was it? The kids and then the father?
Well, the kid, you know, kids are...
Wait, was the father?
When all the guys get trapped on top of the tower,
right. Yeah,
they take off their pants to climb...
Their kilts.
Yeah, so it's like I'm sitting there with my kids, and yeah, it's animated, but still.
I think this Pixar movie was rated differently than a lot of the other ones.
It was still PG.
Are the other ones G?
I don't know.
It's
probably...
It's cartoon butts.
Well, yeah, so I'm not, like, campaigning against it, but still, it's like, yeah, I'm taking my 3-year-old into the movie. She doesn't need to see animated or not. Well, granted, animated's better, but she doesn't need to see huge Scottish arses.
Yeah,
did you like that little Scottish?
I did like that
through in there.
That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I think it's Pixar, so you should see it, but not don't expect it to be your favorite one.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so what is your favorite Pixar movie, just for the record?
I probably like Up. I liked Up a lot.
Everybody likes Up.
I liked Ratatouille a lot.
Are you serious?
I love
You're naming, like, my least favorite Pixar movies.
Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with you?
Toy Story 3. That's the best one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Bugs Life's pretty boring.
Never seen Bugs Life.
Oh. I never saw the Cars movies. I've heard they're bad.
Cars 1 I thought was okay. Cars 2 I haven't seen.
Yeah, so... what are the other ones that they've done?
Finding Nemo. I love Finding Nemo.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Toy Story 2 they did. They also did one called Toy Story 1. Or just Toy Story.
Just Toy Story.
I think 2 and 3 are better than the first one, but most would disagree.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think I'd agree with you on that. I think Cowgirl Jessie's annoying.
My least favorite Pixar movie, WALL-E.
Oh, yeah, that's boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
So at least Brave is better than WALL-E.
Incredibles,
Steve. Oh, I love The Incredibles.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
It was recently ranked on Entertainment Weekly as the public's favorite Pixar movie. Unofficial poll.
Unofficial poll, yeah.
Wait, so before we go on, I have some follow-up questions to The Avengers. So do you think that Hulk should get his own movie now?
Yeah. I really like Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. That's one of the things I thought was excellent. I enjoyed Edward Norton, too, but I think Mark Ruffalo really nailed that role. So... I would love to see him in an independent movie.
A lot of people went into Avengers not expecting much from the Hulk because the movies haven't been that good. And then they were left feeling like he was the breakout character.
He was. Okay. Yeah, definitely. So
I submit to you, Ben and audience, that leave Hulk in movies as a supporting character. I don't think the character Hulk can have his own movie. I think I would love it if he's in Iron Man 3. Of course, in Avengers 2. I don't want Hulk to have his own movie. I don't think that the character's good enough to be able to sustain an entire movie himself.
You might be right.
I probably am.
Yeah. I could get behind that.
So Joss Whedon, Cabin in the Woods. You asked me to see it with you. I said yes, and then you saw it with somebody else.
No, you said no, because I'm worried that I'll be scared.
No, I said...
And wet my pants like a little sissy, because this is how terrifying it is.
This is a paraphrase.
That's a rough paraphrase.
No, I said yes.
No, you didn't. You said maybe.
I remember you said, and we could record... a video feedback of it. I was like, sweet, let's do it.
I actually saw it by myself.
But you went alone instead of seeing it with me?
That's cool. You said maybe.
Oh my gosh. So anyways, not a big deal, because as you know, I don't love horror movies.
Exactly.
But I heard it's not even really a horror movie.
I loved it. It was fantastic.
Is it a horror movie, yes or no?
Yeah.
Is it gory, yes or no?
At parts.
Is it fantastic?
It's fantastic.
I'm going to rent it for sure, because I have to see everything that Joss Whedon does.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a brilliant deconstruction of the horror genre.
Okay.
Very, very, very funny in places, and just a fascinating movie. I really enjoyed it. Don't read anything about it before you go.
I already heard a few things about it with the twists and stuff. I don't know what the twists are. I just know that there is something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rent it. And maybe I can do a more in-depth analysis, but yeah, I'll definitely see it.
Yeah.
So glad to hear you liked it. Okay, back to Marvel. We had talked about Uncanny Avengers, which I was surprised that you used that title, because just this week, Marvel announced something that I don't feel strong about. I do feel negative about it. And they are...
That was a quickly evolving opinion you had there.
Yeah. So, in reaction to DC's very successful... New 52 universe.
Has it been successful?
Yeah, it's been doing pretty well. Yeah, so it was last September that DC rebooted their universe, started over at number ones, and went for it. It's been going pretty well. Batman especially. That story is...
I've paid zero attention to it.
Yeah, it's been very popular. So Marvel is now relaunching their titles as well. But they're not... They're saying it's not starting the universe over. It's just a new beginning. But...
That's such a cop-out.
I know. They're obviously doing it just to answer the New 52. I don't think it's going to be good. And they have the lamest name ever. Whereas the New 52 kind of has an air of interest and intrigue.
And it rhymes.
Yeah. Marvel's is called Marvel Now. N-O-W capital letters. All of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So...
I wonder if they consulted Stan Lee on that one.
And it's happening... You think he came up with that?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Just because it's stupid and Stan Lee's kind of lame.
Oh,
I have a Stan Lee story for you, by the way.
Do you really?
But we can finish with Marvel Now first.
I mean, I don't have a lot to say about it other than it just got announced this week. I'll probably cover it more in the show in the future when I get more details. But one of the titles that they've announced... Actually, all the titles... No. There's three titles I know about for sure. They're going to be kind of the main focus. One is sounds kind of cool. One sounds totally lame. The Uncanny Avengers is going to be a super team made up of X-Men and Avengers. And
sweet.
And it's going to... I forgot who's writing it. I'll cover this in more detail in a future episode. And
good call.
Now here's the worst title. I think the actual concept of the story might be okay, but the lamest title of the new ones I have are All New X-Men.
That's stupid.
Yeah, they're just calling it All New X-Men. But what they're doing is, so you know, in the comic book X-Men lore, there are five original members. Cyclops, Marvel Girl, who is Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman, and Angel.
Yeah.
Those characters from the 60s somehow get transported to present day. And they are going to live in present day. And this comic, The All New X-Men, is going to focus on them in present day, reacting to their future selves and the future world they live in. Weird.
Stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be cool or it could be really lame.
That's why I don't read superhero comics.
What are you reading in comic books these days?
Fables, still.
Is there any new ones that I haven't read from you recently?
Well, like, I don't have them in graphic novel format. I read them on my iPad.
Oh, you changed. Yeah. So what used to happen is Ben would buy them, and then I would just borrow them from him.
Yeah, you'd read them.
And so now you're all cut up, but like a month behind because you said that they...
Yeah, they changed the price from $2.99 to $1.99. Oh. So I wait a month and buy them a month behind. But yeah, I've been reading that, Walking Dead.
So you're pretty much caught up now in the Fables world.
Yep.
Whereas I'm like months behind because I've been waiting for your graphic novels.
Yeah, probably a year and a half behind by now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So Fables, that's a good one. What else?
Fables, it's good. It's taken a step back, though. I don't think it's ever going to quite reach the level it was in issues 1 through 75 with the initial storyline. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was so awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. Did you read Fairest?
I haven't yet.
Is that what it's called? With the new princesses?
One. Yep. Yep, I haven't yet.
Are you still reading Cinderella?
Yeah, they released another miniseries, which was much, much better than the first one. Yeah, I didn't like the first one much. This was much better, so I was pleasantly surprised by that. Only reason I read it was because it was Fables. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, before we go on too far, I should agree. I don't read a lot of superhero comics also. I like to be in the know of what's happening, so I read news about it, but I haven't read a lot of recent things. I have read Fables from you. I've read Walking Dead from you. I found one that you haven't read, Morning Glory.
I read the first volume.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, it was okay.
Second one's out. I think the third one's coming in August-ish.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. Otherwise, yeah, not really superhero, though. More just, I like the stories. Okay, what else you got besides Walking Dead?
Unwritten.
Oh,
that's quite good.
I have not picked up even the first volume, even though I own it. So wow. I should tell you, I have three volumes here. I believe I own two and you own... I have one and two and you own three. Is that what you think also?
I don't remember, honestly. It could be.
Okay. Because I remember...
sounds about right.
I saw them when Borders was going out of business, and I bought some half
I
off.
Own all three.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I at minimum, I own one.
Yeah, I think one and two are yours.
Okay, so I
I'm
have...
I'm not 100%
I have
sure
your
three
third.
Might be yours, too.
So if you're looking for the third, I am in possession of
obviously, it. I haven't been since I didn't even remember owning it.
Okay. Oh, maybe you don't own it.
Maybe.
Let's just say I own it. Perfect. So that's...
Yeah, but the iPad's great for reading comic books. It's fantastic.
Must be nice to have your own iPad.
Yeah. Well, you can get yours.
Kind of expensive.
They are expensive, but they are worth every penny.
What do you use it for besides watching Netflix and reading comic books?
I use it for reading pretty much anything else. The Kindle app is fantastic. You know, obviously games. Gotta love the games. Email, Facebook. You know, it's like a little bit of a laptop, you know, research.
So you use it for everything.
I use it for everything.
Interesting. Well... whatever.
It is indispensable. Notes. You know, I have Evernote on my iPad, which is great.
Do you do your sermons off of your iPad?
Yeah. Whenever I preach off my iPad.
That's weird. Why?
So I don't...
It's not weird because I know a lot of pastors do, but why is it better?
You don't have to print stuff out. You know, so I write my sermon on my computer. I shove it into Evernote, which syncs automatically between my PC and my iPad instantly on there.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, so at Lian Chin, where we just ate... You had said that you've been playing this video game called Diablo, which I...
Diablo 3. Have you never heard of it?
Well, no, I've heard of it. It's by Blizzard, right?
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with the brand. I don't know why it's so good, though.
It's awesome.
Why?
Well, it's... A lot of the attraction is that you get to build up your character, you become more powerful, you look for different loot, you know, so much of your character is what weapons and equipment you have, and, you know, gaining experience, and then the game gets harder and harder and harder the more you go on. There's, in Diablo 3, there's an auction house where you can buy items from other players with in-game gold.
Okay.
They also have a real money auction house for people who want to spend.
Like, real, actual dollars.
Yeah.
I've heard that
virtual axes.
I just heard about somebody, like, I forgot how this happened. In some world like this, like maybe World of Warcraft, they built up their character to a really strong place and then sold the character on eBay.
Yeah.
Like, this guy that they had made into this superstar.
Yeah, they sold for, like, $7,000.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's insane. It's just like a fake world.
So, those of us who recognize that can take advantage of people who don't.
I've recently actually had a request from a listener to do an episode on video games.
Oh, yeah.
I could not contribute a thing to that.
I'd be down with that.
Okay.
But, yeah, Diablo 3 has been a blast. For those of you who have played, I have a monk at level 60, which is max level.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Max level.
Oh, that's cool.
I have a demon hunter at level 56.
Okay.
He's getting up there. And then I just started a wizard last night who is at level 7.
Oh, so early on in his journey.
Early on in his journey. We're still in normal mode.
Speaking of wizards and catching up with Ben DeBono, I haven't told you this yet, but you're going to be very happy. Guess what book I'm on chapter 7 of?
The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm reading it for real.
Whoa.
For realsies.
For realsies. You never update Goodreads anymore, dude.
Nah, I don't use it as much anymore.
Oh my gosh.
I do still read, but...
Goodreads is the greatest website ever.
I know. I like Goodreads. I just don't go on it. Like I used to go on it daily, just like I was checking Facebook. I'd check to see what people are reading.
You should do that. Peer pressure.
Just start using it again.
All the cool kids do it.
Yeah. Maybe I will. Yeah. Maybe I will.
You should. You should.
Once I put Hobbit on there, I'll make sure to let everybody know.
Excellent. But if anybody out there wants to add me on Diablo 3, my Blizzard gamer tag is Ben DeBono, all one word. And then my unique number at the end, because I always give you a unique number and you need that. So #1518. So Ben DeBono, #1518.
BENDEBONO, #1518. Oh, speaking of that, I always forget to announce how people can call us. They can give us a call at...
I don't remember the number anymore.
612.
7.
4121. 612.
4121.
SFC. There we go. Or they can email us at...
Matt@thescifichristian.com.
Sure. Or feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Which also goes to Matt@thescifichristian.com.
Correct. Or Ben@thescifichristian.com.
I think I do still have that. So.
Or Daniel@thescifichristian.com, which actually comes to me. Or Colby@thescifichristian.com, which comes to me. Any of the people that have ever been co-hosts, email them. I'll check it for you.
Okay. Well, that's great.
All right.
But yeah, so I'm not a very social gamer. I like to play solo most of the time, but go ahead and add me, and we can jump in and kill some demons together.
Sweet.
See, I think Diablo's good from a spiritual perspective because it's teaching you how to kill demons.
Yeah, and specifically, some people may not know this, but Diablo means...
The devil.
Yeah, or just devil, unless it's El Diablo.
El Diablo. Did you know that Diabolos is Greek for devil?
I did know that because we took Greek together.
Yeah, I wasn't sure once if you'd upon gotten a time. That far in your vocab words yet.
Do you know that I took Greek last summer with you, and I won't have to take Greek again in the current structure of the program I'm in until spring 2013?
Will you remember anything?
I won't unless I practice again sooner than later. That was probably not the best setup for the program.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, take this foreign language, this ancient foreign language, and then don't look at it for 2 years.
Yeah. Maybe you need to call Russ. Get together with Russ.
I actually just ran into our teacher whose name is Russ.
Yeah. How's Russ
about
doing?
About a week ago. He's doing well.
That's fantastic. This is riveting radio.
All right. Let's move on.
Okay.
Alert. This is Matt Anderson.
And Ben DeBono.
We are interrupting this episode that you're currently listening to us talk on because we ended up spoiling Prometheus pretty severely.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen it by now, that's your own fault.
But just for the sake of warning, don't listen to this if you haven't seen the movie Prometheus. We're also later going to spoil all of season 4 of Fringe, so be ready for that.
Yep. This is, for Matt Anderson, this was a bit of a unique experience. With spoilers ahoy.
Spoilers ahoy.
So spoilers ahoy.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another thing. Prometheus.
Yeah.
Okay,
So I might do a more in-depth analysis of this, but I want to get, since you're here, let's hear it. What'd you think?
Well, you had never seen any of the Aliens movies, right?
So until recently.
Yeah.
Me and a couple of my friends actually watched all four
right
over the course of about a week.
Yeah.
Great experience.
Have you given your thoughts on that on the show?
No, I haven't.
Maybe we should start there before we get to
Alien
Prometheus.
Alien 1, or Alien.
Just called Alien.
Alien, awesome.
Yeah.
Much different than the rest, but the most artistic of the four.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. Number two, which is called Aliens, steps it up a notch more towards the sci-fi action.
Yeah.
Still awesome, but a different kind of awesome. Whereas, oh, I should also say, I close my eyes through so much of these movies. Because there are horrifying parts.
See, that's why we couldn't go to Cabin in the Woods together. I didn't want to be like, oh,
Alien
it's okay, man.
3, which I think is just called Alien 3.
Yeah.
Most people hate it, including yourself.
Yeah, well, my favorite one is the second Alien, mm-hmm. then Alien is good. Alien 3, I didn't care for.
I think it's okay. It's not great. It was okay.
Okay.
And then Resurrection, the fourth, Alien Resurrection, was literally one of the worst movies of any genre that I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was bad. Joss Whedon wrote the screenplay, which is shocking.
But you and I talked about this off-air. It's nice that he kind of got that out of his system because you have to do a few bad things before you can do some greatness.
Yeah.
So I feel okay about him being a part of that.
Yeah, it's just kind
of
sad.
And then Prometheus comes out.
Yes.
Written by none other than Damon Lindelof of
Lost.
And?
Some future HBO show.
I think Nash Bridges.
And, but you know he has a new show coming out on HBO.
Hold on. Well, I won't get it, but on my bookshelf, I bought the book that the show is going to be based on.
Really?
Because I love Damon Lindelof.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't buy it. I got it from the library. I exaggerated.
You bought it from the library.
Yeah. I stole it from the library. I'm actually not returning it. It's called The Leftovers. Do you know what the premise of this book?
I do not.
I don't know a lot about it other than it is coming from a non-Christian perspective, obviously, but it's dealing with a Christian topic. It's a play on Left Behind.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so this HBO show is going to actually be showing what life is like after the rapture, but the people that are left over, obviously, are the non-Christians, and so it's kind of a comedy. I think it's a dark comedy is what it looks like. I don't know, though, for a fact. I haven't actually read it yet. I haven't read a lot about it. I just got it from the library. I will support almost anything Damon Lindelof does.
I'll support almost anything HBO does, so I guess we meet in the middle there.
So, Leftovers. Watch for that probably in 2 years.
Yeah.
But Prometheus. Let me think. I will give it a 4.
I'd give it between a 4 and a 4.5. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, really thought-provoking. I read some stuff about it today that just made me like it all over again.
Yeah.
It was, as with the former Alien movies, there were some intense, horrific images in this one.
Did you have to shut your eyes?
Yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit that I shut my eyes or anything, because I don't...
I would be a little ashamed to admit it.
No, I mean, there's some things I don't want in my head. And like, okay, if you've seen Prometheus, you know what I'm talking about. I won't be too specific, but when she gets into the machine that usually is used for surgery...
Yeah.
That is messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, after this...
What would you do?
I don't know. I mean, I'm...
You probably wouldn't be pregnant with an alien baby, so...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
But, yeah, it was graphic. Like, and then she's walking around, like, covered in blood for, like, the next, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes.
So did you keep your eyes shut the whole time?
No. I don't mind blood. Do mind... I don't like surgery in general. Like, I don't watch doctor shows.
Yeah.
So, adding on... monster attacking while in the midst of surgery. Not good.
That wasn't for you.
It was not for me. So, how good do you think it tied it together with the other Alien movies?
I thought, from that perspective, it was perfect because it was able to stand alone as its own story, but it did what a good prequel or sequel should do, which is to make the original even better mm-hmm. and more interesting.
Did you love that the pilot of the ship in the original movie ended up being the engineers?
I loved it. Yeah. I thought that was great. It did, you know, a good sequel shouldn't take anything away from the original and should be able to make you add some depth and flesh things out. And it did exactly that. You know, you contrast it to like the Star Wars prequels where second you get midichlorians, you've just ripped so much out of the originals mm-hmm. because of taking the mythology out of it. This was the exact opposite. It added new intrigue and new thoughts and development. So it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. Yeah, it was. So, do you have hopes for what the future movies are going to look like?
Prometheus hopefully 2? They'll do a sequel to it.
I actually know some details about the sequel. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Prometheus, or instead of Prometheus 2, they might be just calling it Paradise. And the idea is
that... I thought maybe they'd call it Prometheuses, like they did Alien to Aliens. No.
Prometheus.
That'd be awesome.
So Paradise, the meaning behind the title is that she is heading towards, in quotes, heaven.
Yeah.
And she's going to go meet her makers. And so what is the world where our creators came from? And so it's going to be Elizabeth and David as the two main characters heading off to Paradise.
Do you know, it could be very interesting from the sci-fi Christian perspective, actually.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Do you know why the engineers decided that they hated humans and wanted to destroy Earth?
Do you know why?
Yes.
Because...
Ridley Scott has explained it in an interview.
Yes. He explained his original plan, but he also said that it was too... It wasn't subtle enough, and so they changed it for that reason. But it's because the engineers actually sent Jesus.
Yes.
And so... When we find out that 2,000 years ago they had this plan to destroy Earth, it's because the engineers sent Jesus, humans crucified their emissary, essentially.
Yep.
And when they realized that humans were horrible, they decided just to eliminate us.
Yeah, so Jesus, this is right up your alley with Jesus as a zombie. Jesus is an alien, according to the Prometheus franchise.
Well, is he an... I mean, are they aliens? Because they are us, in a sense.
Well, whatever.
They're similar to us.
Yeah. Maybe we're the aliens.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jesus is an engineer. So that could be quite interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, this morning I was just reading some stuff about Prometheus. As you and I are talking about more, I'm just getting more excited about this movie. It was great.
Yeah.
So Damon Lindelof gets the thumbs up from you.
He does in this case, yeah. Yeah, I was reading before I went to it, people were complaining about, there's too much ambiguity in there.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't think so.
Yeah, me either.
I thought it was a good balance between answering questions from Alien, answering questions in the movie, leaving stuff for the sequel, or just giving you intriguing things to think about. So I was quite pleased with the balance of answers and questions.
Damon Lindelof has said he may not be a part of the second one, though. It may be nice to have a fresh take on this sequel. So, I don't know if he'll be there. But, last thing I want to say. I thought everything tied together awesome with Alien. The only part that I was worried about, and now since then I've kind of gained some closure with, but I thought that they were trying to set up the planet that they were spending all the time on in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought they were trying to say that was the planet that Ripley landed on in Alien.
It's
not, though.
That's probably because you'd only seen the movies once.
Yeah.
Those of us who have seen the movies have the LV-426 etched in our brain. Yeah. So right from the beginning when they say LV-2 whatever it was in Prometheus,
we knew instantly it wasn't. Okay. I kind of thought... And then I went on when the engineer that dies at the end, obviously we just spoiled the entire movie.
Yes.
I'll have to add a spoiler in at this point. When the engineer dies at the end of the movie, I was thinking... How is it possible for him to get back into the pilot's chair if now he's laying there dead on the ground?
So that would be a problem.
It's not the same person.
Yeah.
So who do you think those guys are? Or does it not matter?
Well, they're still engineers.
Yeah, engineers. But why are they on that planet? Why did they crash land there? Is that story not important?
I don't know that that's important. I mean, obviously, this is their form of biological weapons. And so this guy was carrying stuff somewhere. It got out, caused problems, and they crash landed on LV-426.
I love how xenomorphs... change to whatever they gestate in.
Yeah.
They become, so they kind of take on part of that.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Alien is a pretty sweet idea. This is all fresh to me. I've just seen these now in the last month. So it's a pretty sweet idea for a franchise in general. And just as characters, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah. And this is the way to go forward with the franchise. I mean, they're just running it into the ground. I didn't even see the Alien versus Predator movies.
I would kind of like to see them now, but I haven't seen the Predator ones either. So I'd have to watch the 3 Predator movies and then watch Alien vs. Predator.
I think there's only 2 Predator movies.
Well, there's 2 original, and then they have a recent one that came out last year.
Oh, yeah. Predators.
Predators. They've also pluralized.
Yeah.
So
I saw the first one. I didn't think it was very good. I haven't watched any of the others. But it does have, it's one of the few movies in existence that star both Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura.
Yes, which you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Can you name one of the others?
Commando?
Commando, I think, is one.
I give up then.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, dang. Yeah, you're right. I did know that.
Jesse Ventura plays a prison guard in that movie who gets killed by Arnold, I believe. With those classics under their belt, that's...
You think Jesse Ventura is responsible for Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming governor? Like, do you think it was Jesse's idea?
You never know. Jesse's insane. Can we just throw that out there?
We should get him on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he's been on X-Files. I bet he likes sci-fi.
Oh, he doesn't just like it. He believes it.
Oh, no, he likes conspiracies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we need Jesse Ventura on the show. Hey, if anybody out there knows Jesse Ventura... We're in Minnesota. He used to be from Minnesota.
Yeah, I think he's living in California these days.
He's living in Mexico now. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's living in Mexico.
Yeah.
So,
you know, he wrote a few years ago, he wrote a nonfiction book or something like that about, you know, his life in politics or whatever, or what he'd do if he ran for president. And then in the last chapter, he switched to fiction and he was assassinated in the book.
What?
Yeah, I was hearing this radio interview with him, and he said that I wrote the whole thing as nonfiction, and then I got to the last chapter and switched to fiction without telling the audience for a surprise that he gets assassinated at the end of his book. And yeah, this great mind was running the state of Minnesota for
4 years.
4 years. Four very terrifying years.
All right. I have three more notes I wanted to bring up with you.
Okay.
I'll save the best for last. Breaking Bad. We talked about it. It's not sci-fi, but I think it's worth mentioning because it's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, I love it. Can't wait for the new season. Less than a week and a half.
I just watched all three seasons recently on Netflix. The fourth is going to be released. I just found out from you on July 15th when season 5 starts.
Yeah.
Why, this will be the only question I ask about Breaking Bad, and then we'll move on. Why is Breaking Bad so good?
Oh, lots of reasons. I mean, obviously the suspense is great. You know, you got to go to the acting, writing, characters, all of that, you know, is top-notch, as good as any show out there. But I think the thing for me that puts it over the top is, you know me, I like themes, I like deep subject matter, and this has that in droves. You know, it's a fantastic examination of sin from a Christian perspective, even though it's not a Christian show per se. Mm-hmm. But really of sin and the way sin corrupts us, the way sin corrupts those around us. You know, the very first episode, you see a guy choose to do a bad thing for a good reason, and that's really the center of the show. And the entire show from that point is about how he gets entangled in that web of sin that he chooses. Mm-hmm. He makes one small choice in the first episode. Entire rest of the show is about that choice spiraling out of control for him.
And I really like how it shows the effects of our sin on other people in our lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Both in making them suffer and in corrupting them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So
I haven't seen season 4, although I've heard great things about it.
Yeah. I loved it. It was fantastic. I think the show has just gotten better and better and better.
Yeah, it's a great show. Okay, so also on AMC, Walking Dead, a show I'm not watching. I've seen parts of season 1. We've both read the graphic novels. You've obviously read further than me. Thoughts on the television show?
Oh, man, it's been a disappointment so far. It's had some good moments, to be sure. But season 2 was so slow at the beginning. It was just awful. It was painfully bad in places. And then it would get better. I mean, it's had some really good moments, you know. But overall, the show, I don't quite understand why it's so popular. I'm watching it because I like the comics and I'm, you know, excited to see some things like The Governor. But if I wasn't a fan of the comics, I'd have ditched on the show a long time ago. Yeah. So I really don't understand the attraction to it by people who haven't read the comics.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose I should be happy for that because, you know, hopefully it's finally going to kick into gear here in season 3 and turn into an awesome show. But
it's
we'll see.
Turning a lot of people towards the comics, which is weird because from what you and I have talked about, I've been spoiled on the show because I've read the graphic novels and I don't care that much.
Yeah.
Much different storylines, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I wonder how surprised they'll be when they go to the comics and people are living longer than they think they should be or something like that.
Or shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the changes from the comics haven't bothered me so much. I think that it's been interesting how they've gone about that. It's just the pacing of the show has been bad. Some of the acting, especially the kid who plays Carl, has been terrible.
What's the mass appeal of this zombie show?
I honestly don't know.
Because I know the mass appeal of Walking Dead is it's not about zombies. It's about characters and about community. And there's something happening there. Do those themes come through?
Pretty clumsily so far. You know, I think season two got better in the second half. But yeah, it's not been a great show so far.
All right, last question of this episode, and then
dun dun dun,
and then we'll end it, and we're gonna record one more today. So I'll be back too. We're gonna be talking about Batman Month.
Hoorah!
So Comic-Con happens next week.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know if you're keeping up on news at all, but is there anything you're excited for when it comes to Comic-Con this year?
Not really. I mean, I'll watch like the Game of Thrones panel. That'll be interesting. But you know, Dark Knight's done. Effectively. Yeah. I don't think they're even having a panel for it. Or
I wonder if they're going to have a Lost panel. Those used to be my favorites.
We can hope not.
Did you stop watching Fringe altogether?
Yeah.
Okay. Fringe is going to be at Hall H, which if you remember from Comic-Con, that's like the biggest one. That's, if you're in Hall H, that's a huge deal. This is going to be the last season, shorter season on Friday nights.
Yeah. Maybe it'll actually be good because it'll cut the filler.
Let me tell you, I'm just going to spoil here again about Fringe, so be prepared if you haven't watched Fringe. So, season four goes along. It follows the storyline of what happens when Peter doesn't exist in a world. But, of course, he shows up again. And then there's that'll fall out. But there's one episode that out of nowhere, for no reason, jumps to the year 2036. It just opens. And you're in the future. The Observers have taken over the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so the whole the main characters are not in the episode for the majority of it. And then, you mind if I spoil this for you?
Go for it.
Because I want to intrigue you. Then turns out that Walter and some of the other team members, which I won't specify who, have encased themselves in amber because you know how amber keeps you kind of in a stasis?
Yeah.
So upon the beginning of the war with the Observers, they ambered themselves. And so they get reawoken in the future. And now they are about to start leading a revolution to take down the Observers. And that's what all of season five is going to be about. It's in the future, Observers. Otherwise, season four was not a winner. Yeah. Like, remember how worried we were before it?
Yeah.
We were right to worry. It was not good.
Not good.
The stuff with Peter, they just let it be that he never existed. And so he lives in this world. And so everything we knew from the first three seasons, like, it still mattered a little bit because there were memories of it happening.
Yeah.
But only amongst Peter, and then eventually Olivia gets some memories, but not complete, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe it is complete. But either way, every other character does not remember everything else that we've seen already. And so they had some of the same bad guys come back, and then Peter's like, oh, I know him. That's David Robert Jones. They're like, who? And so
that's
then,
so stupid.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so they never fixed the problem.
Yeah. See, that's.
And now they're just. Yeah. And I think they're just going to scrap it and be like, don't worry, guys, we're going to the future now, so it's okay. So now they're in the future. So
that's some really clumsy writing.
So I like where it's going to go. I haven't loved where it's...
Sounds interesting.
I haven't really loved where it's been.
I think if I was to try and catch up on it, what I would do is go online and find a list of just the mythology episodes. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in ever sitting through those boring filler episodes. I hate filler episodes.
Yeah. So the reason I don't usually like spoilers, as everybody knows, but the reason I want the spoiler here is because I want you to be intrigued for the short season 5. 13 episodes, all set in the future. The Observers are bad guys. You don't have to have seen anything else. I think a new viewer could come in, watch a movie about a war with some powerful alien people, and, well... Yeah,
maybe I'll tune in.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about the short season. We've talked about Breaking Bad that has short seasons. Yeah. We've talked about Game of Thrones that has short seasons.
Well, you were right.
Mad Men, another show we both enjoy, that has short seasons. Yeah. Have I been vindicated?
You've been right all along.
Short seasons are the way to go.
Yes, everybody's doing it now.
Otherwise, you get so much filler, and it's garbage.
Everybody's doing short seasons.
Vindication.
So, all right, Ben, let's end this episode, and we'll be back with more as we talk about Batman Month and more about specifically The Dark Knight Rises. What do we think is going to be happening with this great movie that comes out in now just 2 weeks from today?
I'm so excited.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians.
Signing off. Should we do something fun post credits for the people?
I think we stopped talking too soon. We just listen to a lot more music than we usually do.
Oh, we do? Is there a song we could sing?
Do you want to sing a song?
Like, we used to do fun things after the credits, and I feel like now that I'm back, we owe the people something.
Do you have a song in particular that you've been thinking about?
No. I'm open to any song.
Oh, man. I can't think this fast.
Should we think about it and do it next episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so this will be a tease for next episode.
Can we do something, though? I think we need to record an insertion of a spoiler, because we spoiled Prometheus pretty severely.
Okay.
So here we go. Alert. This is Matt Anderson.
And Ben DiBono.
We are interrupting this episode that you're currently listening to us talk on because we ended up spoiling Prometheus pretty severely.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen it by now, that's your own fault.
But just for the sake of warning, don't listen to this if you haven't seen the movie Prometheus. We're also later going to spoil all of season 4 of Fringe, so be ready for that.
Yep. This is, for Matt Anderson, this was a bit of a unique experience. Spoilers ahoy.
Spoilers ahoy.
So spoilers ahoy.